Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. I trust in you.
God bless you, friends. Thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We've been studying perfection through Christ. What an awesome revelation from the Word, the true gospel. And we've discovered that God has already given us perfection, Hebrews 10 and 14. By one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And but we have to take the opportunity to walk by faith in that in order to come into it and manifest it. And that's what I want to talk to you today is manifesting this perfection that God has given us by faith. Because faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while there's no evidence seen. And the Scripture has a lot to say about perfection. Several words are used, a couple more than many. And I'll share one with you here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'd like to start in verse 13. But evil men and imposters shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Word of God is what gives us discernment of the false leaders and the wicked apostate leaders of Christianity. We get so familiar with the Word of God that we hear His voice and we don't hear another's, like Jesus said. And we have to know that the people that shared this with us, like Paul shared this with Timothy, that these are the anointed men of God. We can't trust other people. We know that there is a numeric pattern going through these teachings that's perfect. And we know that God ordained the Scriptures to bring us to the fullness of salvation, the manifestation of salvation. You know, we're saved by faith, but as we walk in that faith, we're being saved by manifestation, meaning, of course, Christ's life is coming to be manifested in us, you see. That's why he says to these Christians, this is two Christians, by the way, and it's to Timothy. He says, from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. He's talking about the manifestation of salvation, you see, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect or complete. And this is the word artios, perfect or complete. It's used both ways, and it means both, you know. That the man of God may be perfect, furnished completely or perfectly unto every good work. Notice, it's unto salvation, it's unto perfection, it's unto every good work. And at the root of all three of those things mentioned here, oh, and of course, it's unto discernment of the false. You know, those four different things. And at the root of all four of these things, the Scriptures. The Scriptures give us discernment to manifest these synonymous things. And what does he say? The Scriptures will bring us to perfection. That the man of God may be perfect, furnished completely or perfectly unto every good work. Glory to God. So the Bible does preach perfection. And the purpose of the Word of God is to bring us to perfection. I tell you, if you're one who loves the Word of God, you will grow much faster than the other Christians around you who are satisfied just to sit in church on Sunday and hear a verse or two and a lot of other things. You'll grow much faster. You'll escape the curse around you much faster. You'll manifest the salvation of God much faster. And I've shared with you, too, how that we asked a Greek man here what the word soteria means to him, salvation means to him. He said, all my needs supplied. You know, of course, we're talking about our needs, spiritual, physical, emotional, all my needs supplied, like a little baby, he said. That's what it means. I thought, wow, that's neat. That's certainly, you know, what we're all after is having all of our needs supplied. As far as being able to walk in the kingdom, as far as manifesting every good work. Now, if you're able to, by the grace of God, come to this completion, this perfection, then it will be unto every good work. Because obviously, perfection is Christ in you. And Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So he's not only able to, first of all, he has to perfect you in order to perfect your works, right? That's right. Perfect people do perfect things. But also in Hebrews, let me share this with you. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. It says, now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, with the blood of the eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus, make you perfect. Now, people complain, we can't be perfect. But here we're seeing who's going to do it. Now, we discovered that the foundation of it was the Word of God being sown in our hearts, which brings us unto the manifestation of salvation, Christ in you, right? And so who is it that does it? It tells you here that Jesus Christ does it. Well, who is the Word of God? Jesus Christ, right? He's the Word made flesh. So, when you put the Word of God in your heart, it is the Lord Himself who brings this to pass. And even faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word, right? So, the Bible says here, the Lord Jesus Christ, make you perfect in every good, literally just says good, no, the word thing wasn't in there. Even the numeric says, perfect you in every good. The numeric Bible says that. Perfect you in every good to do His will. Working in us that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Working in us. You know, when you're putting the Word of God in your heart, you're putting God in your heart. The Word is a manifestation of Himself, of His life. See? And He works in you. If there's one thing I remember about myself coming to the Lord, was that I had such a hunger for the Word. I knew nothing about church. I was just reading the Word day and night, and my heart was just changing. And sin was falling off of me like water off a duck's back. My heart was just changing. I was astounded. I was amazed. It was one of the biggest miracles, the biggest miracle, I guess, I've ever seen. And I've seen some nice ones. Well, make you perfect. God Almighty is the one that brings this to pass. We shouldn't sell God short. The very people that say we can't be perfect wouldn't say God can't make me perfect. They don't believe it's God's will. And they're afraid that it might be God's will, because if it's God's will, that's now making them responsible to cooperate with God to repent and turn from their sins. See, they don't want that. Multitudes of people who profess Christianity enjoy the life that they live. They don't have an ambition to be like God. They don't have a desire to walk pleasing unto him and to walk in the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they're looking for an excuse. And the devil's right there to give them one. So that they can continue to walk in what they want to walk in. Well, how does God save us in the first place? That's the neat thing about the New Testament, folks. The neat thing about it is, he works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, just like this verse says. Working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow. Yep, the Lord has given us an awesome privilege. When we put his word into our heart, it displaces the word that is in our heart. It displaces the nature that's in our heart. And the more that word overcomes the word and nature that's been passed on to us through the blood from our parents, the more we begin to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. And a good example of this is in Romans chapter 12. Let's turn there. And verse 1. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service or reasonable service. Okay? And be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, he's mentioned two things here. He's mentioned you have to give up your old life. Present your body as a living sacrifice for God. In other words, the trials and tribulations of life are going to burn up that old sacrifice. You're going through the fiery trial. You're holding fast to the word. And the fiery trial is burning up the old you, the old nature, right? That's one thing. The other thing was be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's two things Christians have to do to find the perfect will of God. You have to be willing to sacrifice the old life, and you have to take on the new life, and that is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the same thing we just got through reading. It's just spoken in a little different way. It's the Word of God coming into you that brings forth the life and nature of Christ. If he's promising to transform you by the renewing of your mind, that can't be anything more important than taking out the old software and putting in the new, right? Then casting down all vain imaginations that are against the Word of God and beginning to humble yourself to what thus saith the Lord. Right? To put the Word in there. You know, the Bible says he will bring it to your remembrance if you put it in there. Okay? So you have to put it in there. This would be more important to you than going to church even. Okay? Because some of you go in there and you're not getting the Word. So, I'm going to back up just a little bit. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's that word perfect again. To find the perfect will of God. Who is it that walks in the perfect will of God? Well, the Bible says it's perfect people. Now, I know some of you have in your mind this idea of perfection, you know. But perfect is what the Lord says is perfect in his word. It's people who are obedient to his word, and it's a gift of God because we just read that it's he who makes you perfect. He gave you the faith. He granted you the repentance. He worked in you to will and to do of your good pleasure. And he does all this when you use that faith that he gives you. It's grace. From beginning to end, it's grace. And what Paul is saying is it's God's plan to bring us into the perfect will of God. How do we prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? He says do two things. Sacrifice your life and change your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change your mind. Agree with God's word. And he said you will prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And personally, I believe that sometimes we settle for the good, sometimes we settle for the acceptable, and sometimes as we continue to grow, we find out what it is to be in the perfect will of God. But I can tell you, it's perfect people that walk in the perfect will of God, and you probably already know that, right? But I'd like to look at Colossians 4, just for a moment, and verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, saluteth you, always striving for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. So, once again, we see it's not just being in the perfect will of God, it's being perfect so that we may stand assured in all the will of God. It's very hard for people who aren't perfect to walk perfectly. Right? You say, and David, are you perfect? I am perfect by faith. Everybody says that when you preach on perfection. Oh, well, what about you? Are you perfect? Yes, I am perfect. I was perfected by the one offering of Christ. Hebrews 10 says. And I believe it. And I hold on to it. Now, have I manifested it? Well, there I kind of have to agree with Paul in Philippians chapter 3. Not that I have obtained or am already made perfect. See, I'm not saying I have manifested that place, but I hold fast to what the Lord took hold of me for. I hold fast to Him so that it comes to pass, you see. So, yes, we can say that we're perfect by faith. We can, like you can claim a healing by faith. Like you can claim a deliverance by faith. Like you can claim deliverance from any sin by faith because the Lord already took care of it for you, you see. Now, some people call that arrogant or presumptuous. But it's because they're self-willed and they won't submit to the Word of God. You see how many verses there are on perfection? And here he says that it's perfectly acceptable for us to believe that we can stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Either that or a lot of people prayed a lot of silly prayers that they would have really never believed would come to pass, right? As we saw in our last teaching, you know, Jesus and Paul demanded that we be perfect, commanded us to be perfect. Well, it doesn't make any sense that they would command something that is not possible. Certainly, if they were preaching the same thing that the modern preachers today say, they would have never said that because they don't believe it's possible. What we just discovered is the Lord Himself is the one who's going to do this. We cooperate with the Lord. We put the Word of God in our heart. The Bible tells us that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Bible tells us that He's the Word. The Word made flesh. And we discovered that we're like Mary. In that if we believe, there's going to be a fulfillment of the thing which was spoken to us of the Lord. And that is what? That Christ will come to live in us. That's the promises. Okay? And that's the gospel. And so we can stand perfect in all the will of God. And notice that this is a prayer that's being prayed by Epaphras. So it's quite normal for us to pray that prayer for one another and believe it for ourselves. Right? So I'd like to go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. Now remember the two things we discovered. It's the sacrifice of your old life, number one, and it's renewing of your mind, number two. And 1 Peter 4, 1 says, for as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm ye yourselves also with the same mind. Of course, the flesh is at enmity with God. It's literally the enemy of God. So when you suffer in the flesh, your enemy is suffering and God's enemy is suffering. What does that mean? Well, it means the spiritual man's winning the battle. That's what it means every time. suffering in, and we're not talking about suffering in the body, we're talking about suffering in the flesh. It's that nature that is gratified by serving the body instead of the body serving the spirit. That's that evil nature in you, the old man, right? So for as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm ye yourselves also with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Because you see, when you're obeying the spiritual man, you're suffering in the flesh. When you're obeying the carnal man, you're suffering in the spirit. And believe me, you can be twice dead and plucked up by the roots. If you walk after the flesh, you must die, Paul said, Romans 8. So, we want the old man to suffer because he's the one being sacrificed. He is that beast that's being burned up on the altar, you see. Here it is. We're talking about this sacrifice again. We're seeing the sacrifice again here. He said that so that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Wouldn't you like to live the rest of your time having dominion over the flesh? You know how powerful God's salvation is? Just think about the things that you've been delivered from since you've come to know the Lord. Things that used to have control over you, bad habits, sins, and they don't even tempt you anymore. They don't even tempt you. Wow, what is that? That is Christ in you replacing that old man. Now, can God continue to do that until the old man's dead? If you keep renewing your mind and sacrificing your life, well, of course, that's the plan. That's the plan. 30, 60, and 100-fold, we bear the fruit of Christ, right? So that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Glory be to God. Now turn over to chapter 5 and look for a moment at verse... I'm going to start in verse 8 here. Be sober. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He has to have permission to devour, and it has to be your permission to devour, right? Whom he may devour. Whom withstand steadfast in the face. Notice we have the authority to say no to the devil, right? Whom withstand in our faith, by the way. Whom withstand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. Actually, the word there is your brotherhood who are in the world. Now, who are your brothers in the spirit? Well, of course, they're the born again spirits and souls of people around you, you know, in the among the people of God. But the old man's not saved, right? And the wicked are not saved, right? But your humanity has a brotherhood in the world. You know, you were in the flesh, you are a son of Adam. In the spirit, you're a son of the last Adam. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, right? So, who is your brotherhood in the world? Well, it's those people of the world. Well, it says that they're suffering the same sufferings that you're suffering, but it's not accomplishing the same end in them. Notice what it says. Whom must stand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. The suffering that they go through is suffering because of living in the flesh. The suffering that you go through is because you're giving up the flesh. You're sacrificing the flesh. But you can be going through the exact same trials. You're growing up in God, and they're staying under the curse. It's all in the way you handle it. It's all in the way you go through it. If you go through it by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? The old man passes away and the new man is being renewed day by day, right? But to them, they're just a little closer to hell. That's all. And verse 10 says, "And the God of all peace, who called you unto his eternal glory in Christ. Called means invited. We've been invited unto his eternal glory in Christ. After that you have suffered a little while. Why is that? Because, of course, it takes time for the sacrifice to burn up, right? The old man you've put on the altar to burn up, right? After you have suffered a little while, shall himself perfect. Himself perfect. Notice that. Himself perfect, establish, and strengthen you. Once again, God claims that he's the one who perfects. You know what? All we have to do is please God, folks. Faith is accounted as righteousness until righteousness is manifested in your life. Now, God's planning on manifesting it. Are you cooperating? Are you giving him the faith in the Word of God because of the renewed mind? Are you giving him the sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice your life in order to have his life? And by the way, you can ask him to put the willing in you, because he works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, as we just saw, right? So we're not taking anything away from God. It's all grace, right? But you've got to cooperate. And God will put that cooperation in your heart, even. I mean, that's why we pray, because we know we are not of ourselves capable of doing this. But he is. And yet he said, you have not because you ask not. So first thing we need to do is know what we need to ask, right? We need to know what is our opportunity, right? We need to renew our mind to know what God has given to us so that we know what is our rights in the kingdom. So what is our benefit? The Bible says, forget not all of his benefits. We study the Word of God to find out our benefits and find out our rights in the kingdom and learn how to walk by faith and have that very faith that the Word gives us. You know, faith cometh of hearing and hearing by the Word, right? And to him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Glory be to God. And across the page here, chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which cometh upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened unto you. See, we came here, like our Lord Jesus, folks. We came here to die so that we would have eternal life. That's what we're here for. It's not a strange thing that God gives us much opportunity to have a fiery trial to put to death the old man. It's not a strange thing. It's the work of God. It's his plan. Many times we charge God falsely, or we're offended because God brings us through a fiery trial. But it's his work. We need to cooperate. Right? Verse 13, but inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Well, think about Christ's sufferings. We don't want to be hated by the world. We don't want to have Judases come against us. We don't want to suffer for things we never did. We get highly, offended if we're falsely accused. But listen to this. But inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, rejoice that at the revelation of his glory. What is that talking about? It's talking about rejoice because the revelation of his glory, the revealing of his glory in you. That's the end result, right? We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. We are growing from glory to glory. So through Christ's sufferings, we come to the revelation of his glory. That's not a revelation of his glory in him. It's a revelation of his glory in you. See? He's already glorified. Okay? You may rejoice with exceeding joy. I rejoice that I'm not the same man I was. I rejoice that God's life is coming more and more to be manifested in me. He said, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rests upon you. It's a good thing that wicked people God permits and uses to come against you to bring you to your cross, right? It's a good thing. Not for them, but for you, right? For let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a meddler in other men's matters. But if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them also that suffer according to the will of God commit their souls in well-doing unto a faithful Creator. Okay, Lord, you got the fire. I'm the sacrifice. You're in control. Please do your work on me. You know, so trust God, folks. I mean, you are going through some fiery trials. There's no doubt about it, but you have to trust God. And James chapter 1 is, of course, a good revelation of perfection. Verse 2, it says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations or trials. Perasmos, temptations or trials, the same word, okay? Knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. We have to, a faith has to be proven. A faith that is used, that is necessary, becomes strong. That the proving of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Have you got a steadfast faith, a patient faith? You're steadfastly holding on to the benefits that the Lord has promised unto you. If you're doing this, you're being patient in your faith. If you're giving up in the midst of the trial, like in the parable of the sower, 3 out of 4 people that the Lord mentioned gave up before the end. They didn't endure to bear the fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Well, think about it, folks. At least 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 of every Christian is going to give up and go back into the world. Some people say 2 out of 3. I think so, too, because 1 of the 4 didn't understand, and they went, you know, they heard the word, but they didn't with joy receive the word. But 3 did receive the word, but only 1 out of the 3 bore fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So, when we go through the trial, do you give up in your faith before the end? Are you patient to wait to see God answer? Are you steadfast to hold fast to the word of God? Like we saw in Luke chapter 8. Steadfast to hold fast to the word, so that you bring fruit unto perfection. Right? And he says here, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Wow. Think about that. Now that really expands your idea of what you're supposed to be believing for. Perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. And what do we need in order to bring about this perfection? Well, we saw suffering. We saw the renewing of the mind. And now we see that you have to hold fast to your faith. You have to hold fast to your faith. Because just knowing the Word of God is not good enough. You now have to hold fast to it until it comes to pass. He that endureth to the end shall be saved, Jesus said. Right? We are enduring to the end of our faith to see these answers manifested, right? Yes. Well, also, look at James chapter 3 and verse 2. It says, for in many things we all stumble. If any stumbleth not in word, the same is a perfect man. There it is again. Able to bridle the whole body also. A person who speaks the word of God is a perfect man. A person that continues to agree with the word of God out of his mouth is a perfect man. And what did he say that the word of God or speaking the truth does? It bridles the body. It bridles the body. It brings it under submission. Okay. Speaking, a person who is able to speak the truth is able to bridle the body. Matter of fact, if you speak the truth concerning what the Word of God says about you, God will give you grace. He will give you power. See, by grace have you been saved through faith. And how faith is manifested in a major way is through our mouth in what we say. So we hold fast to the Word once again in the midst of the fiery trial to see God bring an answer. And so he says, if any stumbles not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. Now, if we put horses' bridles into their mouths, that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also. Behold, the ships also, though they are great and are driven by rough winds, are yet turned about by a very small rudder, whither the impulse of the steersman willeth. Can you imagine that little tiny rudder can turn that great big ship moved by great winds? And what does he say that rudder is? Your tongue. Your tongue. Agree with the word of God. Agree with the word of God. Speak it. Confess it. The Bible says confession is made unto salvation. Once again, salvation is the manifestation of Christ in you. See? How does Christ come to be manifested in you? You confess him. He said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. If you deny me before men, that is with your mouth, I also will deny you before the Father and before the holy angels, who, are, by the way, are the ones who are ministering spirits sent forth to serve them that are heirs of salvation. So it's very important that the Lord confess you before the Father and before the angels. And he says, if you confess him before men. That is, the word confess means to speak the same as. Speak the same as. In other words, agree with what the Bible says about you and about your circumstance around you. Agree with the benefits of God. See, this is part of faith. So, again, we see, be willing to suffer the loss of your old life, your old man, renew your mind with the word of God, walk by faith, endure to the end. All of these things are promises of perfection. And now we see that one way you walk by faith is with your mouth. Okay. So the tongue also is a little member and boasteth of great things. Behold how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. So it can turn the ship around, but it can also burn it down. Your tongue can destroy you. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It can be good fruit or bad fruit, you see. Be it unto you according to your faith. Is your faith good or is your faith bad? You can have negative faith. You can be so convinced of the curse, sickness, wrong things, that you speak these out of your mouth. And guess what? You're going to have what you say, folks. Yes. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And it comes right out of your mouth, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see? So what's in your heart? Well, you be sure to put the Word of God in there. And be sure to think and meditate on the Word of God, that you might not sin against Him, right? Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. And the tongue is a fire. The world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the wheel of nature, which and also is the word cycle of life. The cycle of life. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. You sow, the sower went forth to sow, and he sowed with the word of God, which is with his mouth. We do the same thing. We sow a seed that will bring forth fruit. The fruit is Christ. Sow the word of God with your mouth, and watch the fruit grow, you see. And so, but it can also be set on fire of hell. It can be a downward cycle, a cycle of curse, reaping curse, reaping curse. And then verse 7 says, for every kind of beast and birds of creeping things and things in the sea, and is tamed, and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It's a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we the Lord and Father, and therewith curse we men, who are made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth cometh forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does the fountain send forth from the same opening sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or a vine figs? Neither can salt water yield sweet. Who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life and his works and meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, faction meaning, of course, division in your heart. You're out to divide people, right? If you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish or demoniacal, right? So, obviously the opposite of this, and this tongue of fire is love, right? 1 John chapter 4 speaks about a way of perfection, right? 1 John chapter 4. And I'm starting verse 16. And we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. God is love. And he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. Herein is love made perfect with us, abiding in God, and God abiding in us. Right? Herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Obviously, if love isn't come to the fruit of 30, 60, and 100 fold in you, then you won't have boldness before God, right? You'll be condemned. Because as he is, even so are we in this world. Now, this is where faith comes in, folks. You don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. That's what Paul taught us to believe. And that's what baptism teaches us to believe. That I was crucified with Christ, and now the one who's resurrected in my life is himself. And we're made free from sin, as Romans 6 says. Praise be to God. So, as he is, even so are we in this world. As he is. Not as he was, even as he is. You know, we're claiming that perfection. We're claiming that perfection. Hebrews 10 and 14 speaks about. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And even perfection in love. Right? There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath punishment or torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. Well, it's obvious that the Bible teaches us what it is to hate our brother. And we can see an awful lot of hatred in some people who call themselves brothers towards us. But that's okay. Because, again, God's bringing us through a fiery trial. He's going to raise up Judases around us. They are going to rail against us. They are going to persecute us, even though we've treated them right. And they are going to crucify in us that which is displeasing to God. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen cannot love God whom he hath not seen. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten or born of God. And whosoever loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. And hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do his commandments. So, friends, obviously, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, would have an awful lot to say about this, and we don't have time to really look at all of that, but I would like to point out a couple of things to you there, 1 Corinthians 13. It's a good thing for you to go, that's your homework, okay, you study that. 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, I like to look at something in particular here. Verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, and I thought as a child, and now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. Notice, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part, which is normal to children, will be done away. And what is he talking about? Now, a lot of people say, oh, this is talking about the gospel when it came, or when Jesus comes again. No, it's not talking about any of that. It's talking about you. You put away childish things when that which is perfect is come. See? As you mature. Verse 12. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Well, there it is, folks, right there. A mirror darkly, but then face to... When that which is perfect is come, you see in the mirror clearly, face to face, Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 tells us that. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. You're going to see Jesus. You see Jesus by faith, face to face now. But of course, the more you grow, the more you see him maturely and purely and perfectly. Right? So it's definitely not talking about the coming, physical coming of Jesus. It's talking about him coming in you. Right? And it goes on to say, now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. When were you fully known? Before the foundation of the world. Remember, he says to those that don't arrive at any form of fruit, I never knew you. He didn't know them before the foundation of the world. But he says, when that which is perfect has come, then I'm going to know as I was fully known. He's talking about you coming into the revelation, the pure, true revelation of Christ. You see? Even as I was fully known. But now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Of course, we're coming into his image, we're coming into his love, we're coming into his faith, and we're coming into his hope, because it's all been given to us from the foundation of the world. It's already been given to us. You know, God is going to finish the good work he started in us. That's what the Bible teaches. And we should continue to hold fast the glorying of our hope firm unto the end. Because this is his plan. We're just entering into it. First with our understanding, you know, because we have to know what to exercise our faith in. We have to seek the word to know what is our opportunity. And once we're convinced of the will of God, we can stand in our faith and stay firm. If you're not convinced something's the word of God, you're not going to be able to endure in your faith unto the end. You're not going to be patient in your faith to receive perfection, as James chapter 1 says. Be convinced it's the will of God for you to be perfect. What the Bible calls perfect, not what necessarily men call perfect. But be convinced it's the will of God for you to be perfect. Be convinced from the Scriptures. That's why I like to look at a lot of Scriptures. You see, I'm not much of a preacher, but God's already said it, and he said it very well. So I think that, you know, as we continue to look at what he said and put that in our heart, he's able to bring it to pass through our faith, right? He'll bring it to our remembrance, and faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me see. Look at a couple more verses here. We got time. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, we speak wisdom. However, among them that are full grown or perfect, same word here. We speak wisdom, however, among them that are perfect. Yet a wisdom that's not of this world nor of the rulers of this world who are coming to naught. Obviously, the rulers of God's people didn't understand it either. You know, the Pharisees, the leaders, reputed to be the leaders of God's people, who were supposed to be leading God's people in the Word, didn't know it. It says in verse 7, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory, which none of the rulers of this world hath known. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Isn't it amazing that the leaders of God's people did not know this hidden mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory? But those poor, ignorant disciples that walked with Jesus, unlearned men walked with Jesus, they had this mystery of the kingdom. The leaders of Christianity crucified him. But these simple men had this revelation because they walked with Jesus. Folks, history is going to repeat. I tell you right now that the majority of leaders of Christianity will do exactly as they have done throughout history. They will lead God's people astray. They don't understand the mystery which has been hidden for ages, Paul spoke about. Christ in you, the hope of glory. They don't understand it. It's the real gospel. It's the true gospel. It is our opportunity to come into perfection. They don't understand it. Once again, they will crucify the Lord of glory. They crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. They will do it again because history always repeats. Because the Bible says history always repeats. The things that have been are the things that shall be, and things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Once again, because they don't know the Lord and don't know this mystery and don't understand perfection, they will come against the ones in whom Jesus lives. They will crucify Jesus again in our day, friends. History always repeats. And it is so that we have a word of prophecy more sure. You know what a word of prophecy more sure is? It says that the Bible is. But the Bible is teaching us what the history of Christianity, which is a prophecy, how it will be fulfilled in our day. You know, read back and see what has happened. There's been a cycle. We just read it in James chapter 3, the cycle of life. There's been a cycle for God's people. Well, we're coming to the last cycle here, and the history is going to be repeated. And what history is that? Well, the history that happened in the days of Jesus. The Lord spoke that to me many years ago. Everything that happened in the time of Christ and his disciples in the time of the Gospels and in the book of Acts is going to happen again on a worldwide stage this time with the New Testament people of God, which are worldwide. History is going to repeat. Do you want God's perfection? He is the one that is going to manifest his sons in these days. The whole creation is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. And what is the manifestation of the sons of God? It is Christ, the Son of God, manifested in you. That is perfection. This is God's promise. We don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. That's the confession, the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. This is what the world's waiting to see. The world sees a lot of lukewarm Christians. And for that reason, they don't have much respect for Christianity. But if they see Christ, do you know, wiser are the children of this world than the children of the kingdom? They see right through a lot of things Christians don't see. They see a lot of hypocrisy in God's people. They see a lot of hypocrisy in Christianity. Oh, friends, we have an opportunity in these days. God is revealing these things again because he's going to manifest his Son in a people. Trust in him. Read your Bible. Don't trust in any man. Read your Bible. Believe exactly what it says. Hold fast. Be willing to give up your old life. God bless you. Be perfect in the name of Jesus. And we'll do this again sometime.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
My thirsting soul, pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, sacred heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, my Lord Jesus. Thank you.